Hey, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Sanhedrin daf chaf aleph. We are holding on daf chaf amud beis. We are four lines from the end of the page on daf chaf amud beis. Poreit lasos lo derech. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, and Lila Nishras, his mother, Golda Bas Simcha LeHashalom, as well as by Daniel Sadin for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times, and Atzacha for our soldiers and our captives. They should return home safely. Also by Tzippi and Rabbi Dr. Aaron Ross, in honor of the yard site of Tzippi's father, Mr. Shlomo Fredman, Shlomo Chaim Aryeh Leib Ben Shmuel. I assume it's a typo. It's probably Nachman HaKohen. It says Nachamu. I apologize if it's not a typo. A pillar of his St. Louis Jewish community, whose yard site was yesterday, the Neshama Shavan Aliyah. We thank all of the sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. So what we're going to talk about today is the following. We're first going to talk about the king's portion of the spoils of war, and then the Mishnah is going to continue the discussion of a king by talking about the number of wives a king is permitted to have, and that's going to lead the Gemara into a discussion of Darshin and Taima Dekra. Are we Darish Taima Dekra Machlok Sarit Rabbi Shimon, where they seem to hold opposite opinions in different contexts? The Gemara is going to discuss where the source is that we come up with the number 18 as the number of wives that a king is allowed to have. And the Gemara is going to talk about the Benos Yifas Toar and the episode with Amnon and Tamar is based on the Yifas Toar discussion. And then the Mishnah on Amud Beis is going to talk about the Isser for a king to have too many horses or to have too much money, and the special Sefer Torah that we write for a king. So we're going to quantify, what does it mean, too many horses? What does it mean, too much money? And at the end of the daf, some details about the Sefer Torah that a king is supposed to have. So let's begin. Again, four lines from the end of the page on daf chaf and beis. Paritz asa soderach, we said a king can break through other people's fences and properties in order to make a road for himself. Tan Rabbanan. So the Braisa tells us about the this is going on the next line in the Mishnah where it said that when it comes to taking spoils of war, they all give it to the king, and the king gets first choice of what to take from the spoils of war. So we're elaborating on that. Tanur Rabbanan, the Braisa says, Otsos Malachim, when the Jewish army goes and conquers and they take over Otsos Malachim, they take over the treasuries of other kings, Lamelech, that goes to the king. Usharbi is a Shabozin, but all the other spoils that they get from the enemies, Mechzel Melech, Mechzel Am, that gets split evenly between the king and the people. So Amle Abay L'Rav Dimi V'Armila L'Rav Acha, Bishlam Otsos Malachim L'Melech or Chedemilsa. I get why a king's treasury that they have conquered is now going to go to the king that matches. El Sharbiz Shabozin, Mechzel Melech, Mechzel Am Minalan. But why should it be that all the other spoils of war get split evenly between the Melech and the Am? Where does that come from? Dechsiv, because the Pasuk says in Divrei Hayamim, when it describes the anointing of Shlomo HaMelech as king, it says V'yimshchu LaHashem L'Nagid U'L'Tzadok, that not only was Shlomo HaMelech anointed, but Tzadok was anointed together with him as the Kohen Gadol. So Makish Nagid L'Tzadok, we're linking Shlomo HaMelech's the anointing of Shlomo HaMelech to that of Tzadok the Kohen Gadol in the following sense. Mat Tzadok, just like the Kohen Gadol, gets half of the lechem upon him, mechzelo mechzele echav afnagid, so to the king gets half of what he gets, mechzelo mechzele echav, he gets half of the chaluka of the spoils of war. V'tzadok ufei midalan, where do I ever see that a Kohen Gadol gets half of the lechem upon him? Titania, because the Braisa elaborates that Rabbi Yomer, Rabbi says that when it talks about when the Torah talks about the division of the lechem upon him, it says Vaisala Aron Ulavanov. So it separates Aron from Banav to tell me Mechzel Aron Umechzel Banav, that half of the lechem upon him goes to Aron, who's the Kohen Gadol, and half goes Lebanav, which is everybody else. So too by the king. The king gets half of the spoils of war. Everybody else gets the other half. Now, when it comes to a melech, the pasuk in Shoft in Perek Yud Zayin tells us that he has certain limitations. It says Rak lo yar belo susim, so that he doesn't lead the am back to Mitzrayim, and then it says lo yar belo nashim, because they're going to lead his heart astray, and then it says v'kesef v'zov lo yar belo ma'od. So you see three separate surim in the pasuk. He can't have too many horses, too many wives, too much money. So this mission is going to talk about the wives. The next mission is going to talk about the horses and the money. Lo yar belo When we say you can't have too many wives, it means no more than 18. 18 is the limit. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, so now the Tanaim elaborate on what the Tanakama means. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Marba Hulo, he can have as many women as he wants, but they have to be the right kind of wives. If they're the kind that are going to be Mesirus Aslibo, then he's limited to 18. Because the Torah says, Lo Yarbalo Nashim, Lo Yasur Levavo. So the Isser is only by women that are likely to be Mesiris Libo. The Yad Ramah says, really? That he's allowed to have up to 18 wives that are awful women? That are, meaning, how does Rabbi Yehuda Shita make sense? That a Melech is allowed to, I would think one wife that's Mesiris Libo would be absolutely forbidden for a king to marry. So the Yad Ramah says, there is no Tana that holds that he's allowed to marry an Isha Risha'a. There's no way he's allowed to marry an evil, wicked woman. He's allowed to marry a woman who we don't yet know, who we don't have clarity. Reputation is not yet so set in stone. It could go either way, as most young people are, right? You don't know exactly where they're going to go in life, exactly. Rabbi Reisman always says, when someone calls him about a shidduch for one of his talmidim, he says, is he going to be a guy who learns even after he leaves yeshiva? And he always says, probably depends who he marries, right? Meaning, they could go in a lot of different directions. So that's the kind of woman that we're talking about of Mesirus Aslibo, that there's a chance of Mesirus Aslibo, but not that she's already proven a track record of being wicked, of being evil, of being terrible in some way or another. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Afilu Achas Mesirus Aslibo, Hareza Lo Yisa'ena. No, that the king shouldn't marry anyone who's going to be Mesirus Aslibo. He should only marry Nashim Tzidkanios. Imkein Laman Emer Lo Yarba Lo Nashim. So then why does it say Lo Yarba Lo Nashim, which sounds like it's only a reboy of Nashim that he's not allowed to have? That's Afilu Kavigayil. Even if he's marrying only Nashim Tzidkanios, only the biggest tzaddikus in the world, still he's not allowed to have more than 18. So that's Machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, even though the Torah says Lo Yarba Lo Nashim, that's only about certain types of women that are a high risk to be Meser Aslibo. But Nashim Ksheros, he can have as many as he wants, because the Isser is only just that it shouldn't be Meser Aslibo. If they're not Meser Aslibo, there's no problem. Whereas Rabbi Shimon holds, no, the Isser of being Marba Lo Nashim applies to all women. So says Gemara, the Meimer, the Rebbe, the Darsh, time to cross, sounds like Rabbi Yehuda is adjusting the halacha, or learning out the halacha based on the reason given in the Pasuk. Now the Pasuk says, because it's so that it shouldn't be Meser Aslibo, so when they're not Meser Aslibo, he can have as many as he wants. For Rabbi Shimon, lo darish taima d'kray, and based on what we're learning in our Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon is not darish taima d'kray. He says that even though the Pasuk says it shouldn't be Meser Aslibo, he's not allowed to be Marben Nashim even if they're not Meser Aslibo. But we learned that Rabbi and Rabbi Shimon hold the exact opposite in terms of darshin and taima d'kray, and the context is when it comes to taking a mashkon from an almana to whom you lent money. Titania almana, if an almana borrowed money, bein shi'aniya, whether she's poor and she only has one dress to wear during the day and one pair of pajamas to wear at night, bein shi'ashira, or whether she's very wealthy and she has a closet full of clothing and therefore you could take one item as a mashkon and she's never going to need it back, ein mashkon, so you don't take a mashkon from her. Shenemar lo sachbol beged almana, that divrei Rabbi Yehuda, the pasuk says you don't take a beged almana as a mashkon. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Ashira me mashkenosa, Ania ein me mashkenosa, Vatachai vlachzula, Vatamasir Shem Rabbi Shkenosa. Rabbi Shimon says, you can take a mashkon from a wealthy woman, just not from a poor woman, and when you do take a mashkon from a woman, you should, from a poor woman, you should give it back to her, and that's going to give her a bad reputation in her neighborhood. Vamrina, my comrade, what do you mean? You just said you're not allowed to take from a poor woman. Then you say, and when you do take from a poor woman, return it to her, and it's going to give her a bad reputation. What are we exactly saying? We just said not to take from her. So Achikamar, yeah, that's what Rabbi Shimon meant to say. Mitoch she'ata memashkena atachayv la'achzula. Since if you were to take a mashkon from a poor woman, you would be obligated to give it back to her every night, because she needs clothing to sleep and clothing to wear during the day, and that would lead to vatamasiyah shem rabbi shchenoseha, and that's why you don't take a mashkon from a poor woman. But Alma Rabbi Yehuda lo darsh taima d'kray, sounds like Rabbi Yehuda doesn't care what the reason for the pasuk is. It says that you're not allowed to take a mashkon from an almana, so even though the reason might be that it's going to give her this bad reputation, and that is only the reason's only nogeya to an aniya, Rabbi Yehuda says, I'm going to apply it to an Ashira as well. I don't care about Taima Dekra. And Rabbi Shimon Darish Taima Dekra, but Rabbi Shimon over here is the one that's Doresh Taima Dekra. He says, oh, because the concern is about giving the woman a bad reputation, and that concern only exists by an Aniyah. It's only by an Aniyah that you're not allowed to take a mashkon from. So it's a stira. Who holds what? It's a stira in Rabbi Yudah, stira in Rabbi Shimon. So it says, Rabbi Alma, Rabbi Yudah lo Darish Taima Dekra. The truth is, generally speaking, in other places, Rabbi Yudah is not Doresh the reasons of the Torah. V'shayni hacha, but over here by lo yar b'lo nashim, it's different than other dine Torah. Dimifarish taima dekra, because the Torah itself explains its reason. It says lo yar b'lo nashim v'lo yasur levavo. So matam lo yar b'lo nashim. Why is it lo yar b'lo nashim? Mishum de lo yasur levavo. So that it doesn't lead his heart astray. So we see from there that that if they're not going to lead his heart astray, then there's no problem. For Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Shimon, who is always Doresh taima dekra, Amarlach will respond to you, Michti, Bialma Darshina Taima Dekra. Generally speaking, in the Kala Torah Kula, we're Doresh the Taima Torah. Im Kein, Lichto Kra, Lo Yarba Lo Nashim, Belishtok. So let the Torah just say Lo Yarba Lo Nashim and don't say anything else. Va no Amina, and I'll figure it out. Ma Tam Lo Yarba, why can't he have extra women, extra wives? Mishum to Lo Yasser, because it's going to lead his heart astray. So Lo Yasser Lamli, why then does the Torah have to go out of its way to say the words Lo Yasser? That's to teach me that afilu achas mesiris liba reza lo yisa'ena, that it's a separate iser, that even if it's one that's going to be mesiris libo, he cannot marry her. Elamani mekayim lo yarba. So then what does lo yarba mean? Tafilu kavigayil, that even if they're all nashim tzukranios like avigayil, he's not allowed to be marben nashim. So where do we come up with the number 18? So it says gemara hanish manasrei minalan, the number 18 that the Mishnah assumes bein l'rabbi Yudah, bein l'rabbi Shimon, right? They both have the number 18 as a magic number, just about different types of wives. So where did that number come from? Because the pasuk says in Shmuel Beis, Vayivaldu LeDavid Banim B'Chevron. David had sons in Chevron. Vayihi B'Choro Amnon L'Achinoam Yisraelis. His first son was Amnon, who was born to his wife Achinoam Yisraelis. Umishneu Kilov L'Avigayil Eshes Navel HaKarmeli. And the second one was Kilov, who was born to Avigayil, who was previously the wife of Naval. Right, that's the whole story. She was married to Naval, and then she tried to prevent David from killing Naval, and ultimately she planted the seeds in David's mind of marrying her after Naval dies, and David did. Vashlishi, and the third one was Avshalom ben Maacha. Avshalom was the son of Maacha. Varavi'i Adonio ben Chagis. Vachamishi Shvatya ben Avital. Vashishi Yisra'am is Yisra'am le'egla Eshes David. So Ela Yuldu leDavid b'Chevron. These six sons from six different wives were born to David in Chevron. V'kamer le'Navi, and Nasra Navi tells David HaMelech, Imaat v'osifa l'chakeina v'cheina. When Nasra Navi is giving David Musar for having sent out Uriah Achiti to Melchama to die and then marrying Bathsheba, Uriah's almana, so Nasan tells him, you know, I don't understand. I gave you everything. I gave you all that tzach. I gave you so much. And if you would have asked for more, you could have gotten Kahena v'cheina. Why did you have to do this? Why did you have to take this woman? So what does it mean, Kahena v'cheina? You already had six wives. Kahena shis. You could have had six more. V'chahena shis. And another six more. Which would have left you with 18 wives. So that's where we get the number 18. So even though at that time, the Aruch Haner points out, he had these six, and he was also married to Bathsheba already at that time. So the Chor, meaning at the time, Nasan Navi was having this conversation, it was about the fact that he took Bathsheba. So obviously, he was already married to Bathsheba as well at that time. So that's what the Aruch Haner says, that he already had seven at the time. But Nasan Navi was telling him, before you took Bathsheba, had you wanted more, right, you could have gotten Kahena v'Cheina. So why did you take Bathsheba? So even though at that moment David had seven wives, Nasan HaNavi was talking to him about before he had seven wives that he could have had Kahena v'Cheina. The Aruch Haner raises a question, that this is a question of Rabbi Yudah. Rabbi Yudah holds that if they're not Meisir's Libo, then he's allowed to marry even more than 18. And L'chara, David's wives were Tzidkanios, so right, Shlomo's the one that married the Baspara or whatever, but David's wives were Tzidkanios, so why was it only 18 according to Rabbi Yehuda? According to Rabbi Shimon, I understand that Afilu Kavigayil, but according to Rabbi Yehuda, what's this Kahena v'Cheina? It should have been as many as he wanted. want it if they're all tzidkaniyos. So the Aruch HaNor says, yeah, the pasuk's just an asmachta. But the din of 18 must be some sort of mesorah, must be some sort of tradition from Torah Shebal Peh. So now the Gemara says, Maska Floravina, Ema, maybe Kahena means, look, you have six, you could have gotten another six, so that's Tartis, right? V'Kahena, Esrin V'Arba. And then V'Kahena goes on the first Kahena, that once you have 12, you could have gotten double that. So maybe it increases exponentially. So Tani Namiachi, we have a Bryce that says just like that, Lo Yarba Lo Nashim Yosem Esrin V'Arba, that you shouldn't have more than 24 wives. So L'man T'Darsh Vav, and if you darsh in a Vav separately, then it's Arba M'Shmona Havu. Then it's 48 wives, because it's Kahena, that's 12. V, that's another 12. Kahena, so that's 24. Kahena, that's 24 times 2. So it increases exponentially. So the maximum is 48. And Tanya Amiyachi, Lo Yarba Lo Nashim, Yosem Yarba Mushmona, that 48 is Taka the number. V'tana didan my time, eh? What's the reason that that our Tana doesn't hold 24 wives from the fact that it says Kahena twice? So I'm Rav Kana, Makash Kena Basra, Lekena Kama. Because we link the second Kena with the first Kena, we assume it's talking about the same number. Just like the first Kahina is 6, the second Kahina is also 6. But wait a second, he had Michal Bashol as a wife also, and she wasn't listed as one of the wives that he got that he acquired in Chevron. So he had 7 wives. So we should learn from Kahina v'Kahina that he should be able to have 21. So Amarav Egla Zo Michal. We did list Michal. We just called her by a different name. Egla is a reference to Michal. V'lama nikra shma Egla. Why is she called Egla? Shechaviva love ke Egla. It's like a loving, endearing term to say Egla. So she was beloved to him like an Egla. V'cheinu Omer, the pasuk says, when it comes to Shimshon, lulei charashtem beglasi. Right, when Shimshon gave the riddle and the people spoke to his wife and were able to get the riddle out of her, he said, had you not had a conversation with my wife, then you never would have known. So how did he refer to his wife? Eglasi. So you see that Egla is an endearing term that one uses for one's wife. So since we said that Egla is Michal, so it turns out the Yisra'am was the Ben Egla, was really the son of Michal. So the Gemara explains, how's that possible that Yisra'am was the son of Michal? Michal bni? Did Michal have any children? V'aksiv, doesn't the pasuk say beferish Michal b'Shaul, b'Shaul lo hayu l'vlad ad yom Mosa, that Michal didn't have any children till the day she died? So how can you say the Yisra'am was the son of Michal? So Rav Chista ad yom Mosa lo hayu la bi yom Mosa hayu la. It just says she didn't have any children until the day that she died. But maybe she died in childbirth and she had a child on the day that she died. So michti banu meich v'kachash v'lu. Wait a second. The pasuk that mentions Yisra'am as a son of Egla, and we're saying that means the son of Michal, where is it talking about that he had these sons? B'chevron. The pasuk said explicitly that Vayivaldu l'David banim b'chevron, and then it goes through this list. V'ilu ma'isa de Michal. But the story with Michal, B'Yerushalayim Hava, right? The story with Michal that caused her to suffer the fate of not having any children, Ad Yom Mosa, happened after David was in Chevron, it's after David came to Yerushalayim. What was the story with Michal? The Chsiv, Pasuk says that after David went from Chevron to Yerushalayim and his malchus moved to Yerushalayim, he brought the Aron Elokim to Ir David, and he was dancing in front of the Aron very wildly. Umichal Bashol Nishkava Barachalon. So she's looking out the window, watching how her husband is carrying on. Vatiras Amelach David Mefazis Macharker Lufnei Hashem. Vativas. So Vativas Lo Beliba. The pasuk says she's embarrassed by his behavior. That's the way a Melech carries himself. She knows how a Melech carries himself. She was the daughter of a Melech. So it's beneath the dignity of a Melech. That's how a dignified person carries himself. So the pasuk goes on and tells us, the Gemara doesn't quote the whole pasuk over here, but it goes on to tell us, Vatetzi Michal Bashal Ukras David, she goes out to talk to David, Vatomer Manich Parayom Melech Yisrael, Asher Nigla Yom Le'eni Amos Avadu V'Yigolos Niglos Achar Arekim, that you're acting like a lowlife in front of all these people, in front of all these people that look up to you. And David gives her Musar that, what do you mean? This is L'Kavod HaTorah, and that's what you're supposed to do. And because of that, she suffers the curse that she doesn't have a Vlad ad yom Moshe. She doesn't have children ad yom Moshe. Vamer Rav Yehuda v'itema Rav Yosef shekalta Michal lemitrafsei. That Michal took the payment for her avera of being of looking down on David by not having any more children. So you see that it's only then that this happened. Yisra'el was already born in Chevron before this Maisa. So how can you say that Yisra'el was born to Michal when she was dying on her deathbed and she died in childbirth, that's what happened? No, we see Yisra'el was already born. He was already, and then Michal had this conversation with David. So no, the answer must be that it's not that Michal didn't have any children throughout her entire life. She had children prior to that Maisa, but once that Maisa happened, she didn't have any more children. That was the curse that was secondary infertility, not the initial infertility. So the Gemara explains, doesn't the Pasuk say that David took more wives and more pilakshim? So I thought a melech is not allowed to have so many wives. How come it says he took more? So the melech shmonasar. No, it means he took more up to the number of 26, but more than the number 26. Up to the number 18 rather, but more than the number 18 he wasn't allowed to take. So the Torah Chaim raises the question that lecharet zedavra pashut, that the answer is so pashut. What was the hava mina that the Gemara is even asking? Oh, he's not allowed to be marben nashim. How could he take more than the ones we mentioned? What do you mean? We just said, the Mishnah says 18 is the number. So of course he's allowed to take more than the ones we mentioned. We only mentioned six of them. So the Torah Chaim writes that the Gemara Shaila was, because this pasuk appears before the Maisa with Bathsheba, that's where the Navi says, Vosifa lecha kehena v'cheina. So it turns out that aside from the six wives he already had, he also had Od Nashim v'pilakshim. And the Navi says about all of them, Kahena v'chahena. So l'chara, that's more than 18. So the Gemara's answer is that even though this pasuk was written prior to that, he didn't marry these women until after the Maisa with Bathsheba. And that's why it's just the Malos, the 18. My Nashim, my Pilakshim. What's the difference between Nashim on the one hand and Pilakshim on the other? Amar Bidim Rav, Nashim b'ksuba b'kedushin, Pilakshim below ksuba below kedushin. Nashim is with ksuba and kedushin, Pilakshim is without ksuba and without kedushin. There is a machlokas rishonim where the Pilakshim are among the 18, or it's he's allowed to take 18 regular wives, and then in addition to that, as many Pilakshim as he wants. The Rambam holds that the number 18 includes Pilakshim as well, that even with Pilakshim it's 18. That's the Rambam in the third paragraph of Hilchos Melachim. The Raivit on the spot disagrees, and he says that he's allowed to take 18 wives, and then he could take many, many more Pilakshim. It's interesting, Rashi ala Torah in Bereshis Perek Chafei, Pasuk Vav, quotes our Gemara, and he says, you know what the difference is between Nashim and Pilakshim? Is Nashim or Biksuba, Pilakshim or Bloksuba. He does not have the gears of our Gemara, apparently, that it's Ksuba and Kiddushin, to distinguish between Ksuba and Kiddushin. Only Ksuba is the way Rashi has it on Chumash. Okay, Amar Rav Yudam Rav. Arba Meos Yiladim Hayla L'Davrim Kul B'nei Yifas Tor Hayim. David HaMelech had 400 children that were all B'nai Yifas Tor, which is really something that defies logic in terms of the possibility. It's so rachok that would happen, because the halach is a Yifas Tor, you're allowed to take one from each Melchama, and you could be boel her before her gerus one bia. So that's the only way to have a Yifas Tor. So the Abrama writes that the Gemara must mean that he went out to 400 different Melchamos, he took Yifas Tor at each one, in each Melchama, and he had a child from each one. That's a lot of Melchamos and a lot of Yifas Tor to have. Or he says maybe it was 200 Melchamos and he happened to have twins from each Bia with each Yifas Tor. So 200 Melchamos and pumped, it happened to be twins every single time, says the Avramah. So that's why Rashi in Maseches Kiddushin says that the Arba Meos Yiladim were not his. It was his soldiers' children. I mean, it could have all happened at one war, and 400 of his soldiers each took a Yifas Tor, and that's what, and he took care of them. But that That's what Rashi in Kiddushin, in Maseches Kiddushin writes. The Rivash writes similarly in a Tshuva. But anyway, there were these 400 guys that were Bnei Yifas Tawar, Umagadei Belorios, and they all had a Gayish haircut, Hayu. They were Magadei Belorios, Mekulin Yoshim, Mekronos Shalzav, Mahalchim Brasha Giyasos, Hayu, and they all had these golden wagons, and they went in the head of the troops, ahead of all the other troops, the Heim Hayu Bali Agro, and Shal Beis David, and they were the fierce warriors of the Beis David. They're the ones that frightened the enemy. The Gemara in Kiddushin says that they didn't actually fight wars, because wars have to be fought only by miyuchasim. So we wouldn't allow someone like that to fight a war. It was only lahavchid esalevim. It was only to cause, instill fear in the hearts of our enemies. How does it instill fear in the hearts of our enemies? So pashup shad is because these are tough looking guys. So that instills fear. The Ben Yoyada says no. It was obvious that they were Bnei Yifas Toar, because they looked different. They looked like non-Jews. They had the Megadda Beloris, a non-Jewish haircut. So it was evident that these were not native Jews. And the enemy sees, where did they get 400 Yifas Toars? Right, where did they get these 400 Bnei Yifas Toar? It must be that this is a very successful military, that they've taken people from previous wars, and that's what instills fear in the enemy. Vamar Abidam Rav, Tamar Bas Yifas Toar Isa. Tamar was a daughter of Yifas Toar. Shnemar Vata Dibir HaMelech Ki Lo Yimneini Mimecha. When Amnon wanted to take advantage of Tamar, she said, why don't you just ask our father David, and I'm sure he's not going to withhold me from you. Vizal Kedai Lekvas Nisun Avay. But if she was really a regular sister, Achti Miyav Shayilei, do you think the father would have no problem with the brother marrying the sister? Elishmamina Bas Yifas Toar Haisa. So it must be that she was a Bas Yifas Toar, and therefore they weren't really halachically brother and sister, and that's why she was saying, I'm sure David won't have a problem with us getting married, so just do it the right way. Amnon Yonadav ben Shima achi David, Avi Yonadav ish chacham. Amnon had a friend named Yonadav, Amravidam Rav, ish chacham larisha. He was called an ish chacham, but he was an evil genius. Vayomer madua atakacha dal ben amelech. Yonadav says to his friend Amnon, why do you look so sad? Vayomer lo Yonadav shchal v'mishka v'yischal. And Avshalom says it's because I am in love with Tamar and my father and I can't marry her. So Yonadav says, okay, pretend that you're sick and insist that Tamar come and prepare food for you. And she comes and he takes advantage of her. Ad vasalene esabria, that she makes for him the food in front of him. Vatika chamashus v'titzok lefanav. She takes the frying pan and pours out the food in front of him. Amriv demrav shasala mini tigun. She made fried foods for him. The Ben Yoyada says, who cares, right? Why do I need to know what kind of food Tamar was making for Amnon? He says, no, it's critical to the story. How did David not see through this ruse? How did David not realize what was going on over here? Why does he insist that the food be made in front of him? Let him make the food in the kitchen and send an Eved to bring the food. So it must be that it was fried food, because when you make food in a pot, you can keep the lid on the pot, it will stay warm, and you can bring it to him, it will still be warm. You make food in a frying pan is open, so a lot of times you need to eat it fresh. If it's not fresh, it's not good. So that's why he insisted that it be made for him on the spot, because it was fried food that he needed to have on the spot. Okay. Right after raping her, Amnon had terrible sinna for her. My time. Because it didn't go well for him. There was a hair in the osamakom that cut his aver and made him a kroshivcha. My avda. Yeah, but why would that be reason to get angry at her? It just happened by itself. She didn't do it. No. It must be she learned this in some self-defense course or something, and she's the one that did it to him. So that's why he hated her. So says Gemara, Eini, is that really so? Vahadar Shrava, Maidichsiv, doesn't Rava Darsha the Pasuk, Ve'etze l'chashem bagayim biyafyech, she'enlem l'brosra lo sar beisa shechi v'lo beisa erva. Don't we learn that with that Jewish women don't have hair in their armpits or in the pubic area? So how could she have had hair that would have damaged him in this way? Shaini Tamar, the Bas Yifas Toar Havai. She wasn't a native Jewish woman. She was a Bas Yifas Toar, and therefore she didn't have that characteristic. Vatikach Tamar Efer al Rosham. So she tore her clothing, she put ashes on her head. So Tana Mishmeid Rabbi Shuba and Karcha, Gedr Gadol Gadr Tamar Ba'os Hashah. Tamar, through all of her crying and lamenting this terrible bizayon that she suffered, created a tremendous Gedr for the Jewish people. Amru, because everyone said, wow, Lubnos Malachim Kach, if such a thing could happen, even to Abbas Melech, Lubnos Hediyoto Salach Kama V'Kama, how a sexual assault could happen to anybody. If it could even happen to a Bas Melech, Im Letznuos Kach, if it could happen to someone who's so tzenua and who's so good and modest, Leprutzos Halachas Kama V'Kama, so then certainly it could happen to people who are not such tzenuim. So Amar Avdim Rav, Bosa Shal Gazru, they decided that they need to do something. So Gazru Ala Yichud V'Ala Pnuya, they made a gzeira not to have Yichud with the Neshes Ish and not to have Bia with the Pnuya. So says Mar Yichud Daraisa, Yichud with the Neshes Ish, you don't need a gzeira, that's it in Daraisa. Where do we find the remez to the Yisr min HaTorah of Yichud? Shenemar, because the pasuk says when it comes to a mesis umediach for avodah zarah, it says ki yisischa achicha benimecha, that your brother, the son of your mother, is going to lead you astray. What v'chi ben a mesis ben av eino mesis? Is it only the son of your mother that's going to lead you astray, not the son of your father that you need to be wary of? Ela lomer lecha. No, the reason it says benimecha is to tell you that the ben and the aim can be juxtaposed. Could be associated one with the other. Ben misyachid emimo. A son could have yichud with his mother. Ve'ein acher misyachid em kol arayos shebetorah. But that's it. No one else is allowed to have yichud with any of the other arayos in the Torah. So there you see, yichud is min haTorah. So what do you mean they were gozer on yichud? Ele'ema gozra al yichud dipnuya. No, it's not that they were gozer on yichud in general. They were gozer on yichud with a single girl. Up until that point, you were allowed to have yichud with a single girl. So now the Gemara brings about Adoniyov. Adoniyah ben Chagis misnasi lemar ani amloch. That Adonia said, I'm going to be the king now. He tried the crown on, but the crown wouldn't fit his head. Apparently, kings who are Rotwi from the Malchus Beis Avid had a certain shape of their head that the crown would only fit if their head was shaped properly. He didn't have that. He made chariots and he had 50 people running in front of him. Well, my Rabusa, what's the big deal that he had 50 men running in front of him, that he had a secret service with him? He's a child of a king. Has a secret service. He has a little bit of a motorcade. He has people that follow him around. 50 is not so much for a child of a king. So why is that being made into a big deal? No, these were not 50 regular people. These were 50 people that had their spleens removed, because apparently that helps a person and run faster, and also they had the flesh on the bottom of their feet, or the nerves on the bottom of their feet, destroyed so that they don't feel any pain when they run, so they were able to run barefoot on thorns and on rocks and whatever, and they didn't feel any pain, and that's why they were able to run really fast. So we had those kinds of people, 50 of those, that's a lot. Okay, so now the Mishnah discusses other halachos related to King Loyar B'lo Susim El Kdei Merkavto. He can't have more horses than he needs for his chariots, because of Azav Loyar B'lo Ma'od El Kedeli Tein Aspanya. He can't have too much money, more than he needs to pay his staff and his soldiers. Because of the Sefer Torah Lishmo, and he writes his own Sefer Torah, Yosel Melchama Tziyemo. When he goes out to Melchama, he brings the Sefer Torah with him. Nichnas Mechnisimo. When he comes back from Melchama, he brings the Sefer Torah back in with him. Yoshev Badin, he imo. When he sits and he judges, this Sefer Torah is with him. Mesev, he connecta. When he sits to eat, it's across from him. So we see Shnemar Vaisi Imo Vakarbo Kol Yimechayav. That it's always with him. It's throughout his life. So first we're going to discuss the horses and the money, and then we'll talk about the Sefer Torah. So first things first. Tan Rabban, we have a Raisa. Lo Yarba Lo Susim, you shouldn't have too many horses. Yachal Afilu Kedei Markavto Ofrashav. I might think even what he needs for his chariots, Tamalomar, Lo Eino Marbal, Marbu Kedei Rechbo Ofrashav. He shouldn't have personally too many horses. What he needs for the chariots, for the army, for the that for sure he's allowed to have. Hamani mekayim susim. What do I do with the yisra of loyar belo susim? Susim abatlanim. That means just stam to sit in the stable, just as a sign of wealth. That he shouldn't have. Minayin shafil susachad vubatel shehu belo yarba. How do I know that even one horse that's not needed and it's just sitting there batel is not appropriate for a king to have? Is usher for a king to have? Tamalomar leman harbos. sus in the singular. If even one horse that's batel is a violation of the yarbe, susim lamali. Why does the Torah use the lashon rabim of susim? Lavrabalos, I say al kol sus v'sus, to tell me that each horse that he has that's batel, that's unnecessary for his military, each one is a separate iser. So time of the kaz rachman lo halav hachiyav amina afilu kedei rechbo prashav nami lo. Sounds like the only iser of lo yarbe is lo is for him. But had the Torah not said the word lo, I would think that he's not even allowed to be marbe for his for what's needed for the military. And that's why not? Why would I need a pasuk to be matir that which is needed for the military? Obviously, he needs a strong military. So answer gemara lo tzricha la afushe. No, the pasuk is just telling me to be that he's allowed to have, he doesn't have to do an exact cheshbon of exactly how many horses the military needs. He can get plenty for the military. He can estimate very high in terms of what the military needs. It's just in his own stables, for his own wealth, for his own honor, for his own hobby, that's what he's not allowed to have even one. But for the military, he can estimate very high in terms of the number of horses that he needs. Similar discussion when it comes to the money. V'kesef v'zav le'yarbel el k'dilit in Espana, that only the amount of money that he needs to pay his staff and his officers. So Tan Rabban v'kesef v'zav le'yarbel lo yachal afilu k'dilit in Espana. I might think even to pay his soldiers. Tam lomar lo eino marbe av marbu k'dilit in Espana. But he is allowed to be marbe to give to his soldiers. So time the kasher rachmana lo sounds like it's because it says lo halav hachiyav amina v'k'dilit in Espana nami lo. Without the word lo, it sounds like I would have thought that he's not even allowed to pay his soldiers. So the tzrich l'arvacha. No, of course he's allowed to pay his soldiers. The chiddush is that he's allowed to estimate very high in terms of the budget that he's going to need to pay his soldiers. So hashadam, right? Soldiers need a lot. So hashadam lo. Now that it says the word lo, l'drasha, that we're using it for a drasha. So we learned the word lo lamed vav for a drasha by horses and by money. Lo yarba lo nashim my drasha be. So then, what do you do with the word lo lamed vav when it comes to nashim? So the mutei adyotos, that's to exclude people who are not kings, that only a king is not allowed to be mar benashim. A hedyot is allowed to be mar benashim. Rabbi Yehuda asked the following stira. Ksiv, the pasuk says in Sefer Malachim, vayhi l'shlomo arba'im elef orvo susim l'merkavo, that he had 40,000 places for horses. Uksiv, vayhi l'shlomo arba'as alafim orio susim, that he had 4,000 places for horses. Haketz said, what was it? Was it 4,000 or 40,000? So the way we darshan it is im arba im elef tablos hayu, if there were 40,000 stables, kol echad ve'echad hayu bo arba salafim or vosusim. If there were 40,000 barns, then each one had 4,000 stables in the barn. Im arba salafim tablos hayu, and if there were 4,000 barns, kol echad ve'echad hayu bo arba im elef or vosusim, then each one had 40,000 stables within that barn. Rabbi Yitzchak asked the following stira: Ein kesef nechshav b'yimei Shlomo l'me'uma. That money was worthless in the days of Shlomo. Ksiv eitin Shlomo sekesef b'yushalayim kavanim. But it says the money was like stones. So lo kasha. Kan kodem shasas Shlomo's bas paro. Kan lach shasas Shlomo's bas paro. I mean, he was punished after marrying bas paro, so there was less money. It was only like stones. It wasn't like nothing. Am Rabbi Yitzchak b'shoshnas Shlomo's bas paro. Yor Gavriel v'na'atz kana b'yam ve'al esirton ve'alav nimna krach gadol shabrami. When Shlomo Melch married bas paro, the Malach Gavriel stuck something by the yam, and it created a blockage, and dry land built up over there, and ultimately the great cities of Rome were built on that area. Why does the Torah not give us the reasons for a whole bunch, you know, for most of the Yisurim, like wearing shatnas and eating chazer and things like that? Because there are two psukim where the Torah actually does give us the reason. The Miri points out there are others as well, right? By Sukkah it says the man yedu doraseicha, and by Shabbos ki sheshes yamim masa Hashem. But the Miri says those are historical reasons. Historical reasons are fine. We're asking why doesn't it give reasons that are, you know, more what it will lead to, why it's so terrible, what's the so because there were two times that it did, and nichshal ben gadol la'olam, and Shlomo Melech was nichshal in both of those times. Ksiv le'yarbel l'nashim, it says you shouldn't have too many wives. Amar Shlomo Melech said that since the whole reason for the issue is that it shouldn't shouldn't be meser slavavo. Ani arbe v'lo asur. I'll be marbe wives, and it's not going to do anything to me. Uksiv ayile isik nashlamo nashav hitu slavavo. And itaka did something to him. Uksiv liyarbe lo susim amr shlamo. Ani arbe v'lo ashiv. That it says you shouldn't have too many horses because you're going to bring people back to Mitzrayim. I'm not going to have anything to do with Mitzrayim. Uksiv merkav Mitzrayim b'sheish. Ultimately he brought people back to Mitzrayim. Because of Sefer Torah Lishma, King writes Sefer Torah, Tanu Vachlo Yisna Bishalavosav, that he shouldn't benefit from the one of the, he should from the one that he inherited from his fathers. He should write his own Sefer Torah. Amar Rabba Av Bishinichlo Avosavodim Sefer Torah Mitzvah Lichlam Mishalosh Nam Ravata Kisvu Lechemas Hashira. Even if a person inherits Sefer Torah, he's got to write his own. Say Esve Abaye because of the Sefer Torah Lishma Shlo Yisna Bishalacherim Melech In Hediot Lo. So doesn't that imply that only a king has to write his own Sefer Torah? Lo tzricha shtei Torahs. No, a king has to write two Sefer Torah. Ukidzitanya, the Kosvelos Mishneh, Kosev Lishmo shtei Torahs. Achashi Yotze v'nechnasimo. He has to have two Torahs, one that goes with him wherever he goes, v'achashi menachsel v'esknazav, and one that stays in his safe. Osh Yotze v'nechnasimo, the one that goes in and out with him, he can't go into the bathroom or the bathhouse with. That he's only let to bring it into a place where he's able to read from it. So therefore, not a beis hakisei, not a beis hamerchatz. Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with Amar Marzutra toward the bottom of the page. Everyone have a wonderful day.